Good evening, councillors, staff members, our residents that are in the gallery and those observing online. We're about to begin shortly. This is a bit unusual. We've started the public forum at 5 p.m. Today because we only have one item on the agenda, which is the item 1/25 Croydon Todd Program Alternate Master Plan, which shows the options. So we had nearly 40 registered speakers. We were able to reduce that thanks to the help of governance and the general manager. We're speaking to some of those residents that have agreed to speak in groups together. So thank you for that. Thanks for your patience also to our residents and for being understanding in trying to allow the council to get the views of as many residents as we can before making the important decision. Now, I've declared an interest and I've made this public previously, so I won't be taking part in the official part of the vote for the meeting, but I am able to participate, as I have in the past, in the open forum. Just a reminder before we start as well, there's a strict time limit of 3 minutes tonight, so the GM will be keeping a stopwatch here on his phone. At around 2.5 minutes, I'm going to raise my pen up. It's just to sort of let you know to wrap up if you can. And then I'll ask you at 3 minutes to stop because we need to try to get through the whole list. We need to stop the open forum at 6 p.m. so we can open the meeting and go into the debate for the meeting. So I'll just remind you, it's 3 minutes allocated per speaker. Some of the speakers have been allocated and agreed to do one spot, and there's three of them that will do a minute each, so you'll come up together, I'll call you up together. Some have two spots where there's three speakers, so they might do 2 minutes each. Thank you again for your understanding. Thank you again also for your patience. I know many of the residents have been sort of stressed since the Todd's been announced. There's been obviously some uncertainty with regards to planning. There's a process that council has gone through to try to put through an alternate proposal to the government. This is not a council led plan. It's a TOD plan, or Transport Orientated Development Plan, that was announced by the government more than 12 months ago. So we're just trying to deal with that. So thank you for your patience. I know some of you have been, should I say, stressed or anxious about some of the proposals and have been vocal in putting your opinions across, and that's important. But please, at the same time, I remind you tonight in the open forum to speak, put your opinions across, but do that, please, in a respectful manner. So, you know, whether it's towards the staff or councillors or people here at your council, this is your council, it represents you. Please put your opinions across respectfully. There might be a wide range of opinions maybe being shared tonight. Also, show respect to other speakers. People have a different opinion. Let people have their say. Please don't make comment while people are speaking. Show them courtesy just like you would like to be afforded courtesy, please. So I remind you of that. If we do have people that are going to call out or be untoward, I'll actually stop the open forum. We'll ask you to leave. If people refuse to leave, we'll then ask everybody to leave and just open the meeting. So please don't ruin it for everybody. Let the process run. It works. We've done it before. The process runs. Everyone has their say, and then council will make a decision. So please just remember that. Also remember not to address personality. Stick to the issue. Which is really important. If you want councillors to listen to you, speak about the issue, not about the personalities or staff or councillors. Under the code of meeting practice, it's not allowable, so please stick to the issue and make your point. So being right on 5 o'clock, I might ask Brett Marshall from Clifton Avenue Build, who's speaking in favour of option 3, I believe. And he's also speaking on behalf of Simon. So, Simon, if you'd like to join him, you can. Brett, you've been here before. So you press that mic, and you don't need to reintroduce yourself again.
Thank you, Councillor. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. And my name is Brett Marshall. I'm from 12 Clifton Avenue. I'm speaking on behalf of myself and Simon Bromwich, who's also a resident in Clifton Avenue, but is captured within the Railway South Precinct. Firstly, I'd like to commend the council and all the staff on the great work they've done in looking at alternative options to the Todd, in particular the further independent reports that they did get from Ethos and the Heritage Consultants. So excellent job done. I'm speaking in favour of the recommendation one, which is the option three as the alternative response to the New South Wales Transfer and Tation Development Program, as including attachment one to the agenda today. I think it reaches a very sensible compromise between heritage, protecting neighbourhood, and also increasing the density. I think that's supported by very sensible data, and it reaches a very good balance to an alternative to the Todd. However, my reason I'm here today is in relation to the Railway South Precinct. As you know, I spoke to the council back in October 24, and a resolution was passed to remove the Railway South Precinct from the structure plans in the public exhibition documents. As has come, obviously the intention of that was based on evidence from the independent reports, which said that that was an area of high heritage significance, and that there was little opportunity to increase the density within that area. That's been further supported by the two independent reports obtained after that meeting, and in respect to the various options that are put forward today. The intention, obviously, was that that area would not be included within the investigation area. And whilst alternative structure plans have been put up, we do notice that that area remains within the heritage investigation area. Now, I do concede that council's response to that as well, it was an area that was set out for investigation, and that there is commentary as to the height and density that will pertain to that that precinct. However, there is obviously a degree of nervousness from the residents within that area that should that area be presented to the state government, there's always an opportunity for that to be reopened. As per the minutes that were passed in October, we would request that in any document that gets presented to the state government that that area be excluded from the plan, as it has been for the Melvin and Cintra estates under the original Todd proposal, and I think that would remove any confusion and any uncertainty for the residents in that area. Thank you.
Thanks, Brett. Perfect. And thank you, Simon. I do also just note, while I'm calling up Carl, Paul and Julie from Baronia Avenue and Waimea Street, so the three of them are going to speak together, so please welcome. Also note that all the councillors are present, so Security Butter, who's one of our councillors, is online, so you can see there on screen with that scarf, couldn't be here in person, so welcome, Security. Paul?
Okay, thank you, Mayor and Councillors. I'm going to be very brief, hopefully allow more time for my colleagues. I'm one of the homeowners in Baronia Avenue, and certainly very conscious that we have a unique community. Although we are in a highly urbanized setting, there is still, and close to the city, there is still a very strong sense of community in Burwood. And I know that for councillors, looking at ways to enhance that community is something you're very focused on. I'm speaking in favor of option four because I think it provides a very important solution to all of the problems and challenges that have been identified by both the Todd and by option three. First of all, it leverages, as the Todd wanted to, the available spare capacity at Croydon Station to provide public transport for any increase in population. Secondly, it increases housing density in areas of Croydon, best place to absorb it, but without impacting the Malvern Park heritage area. Thirdly, it does not add further congestion and overload to the Burwood railway station, which is already heavily congested and the fifth busiest station in New South Wales. Fourthly, it does not add a further burden to the roads and infrastructure immediately around Burwood Town Centre. Fifthly, the proposal to look at additional density being provided in Burwood North will be bringing it into an area that is already conditioned and expecting high density development. Sixth, as a result of that, it takes advantage of the new metro station and other facilities being put in place to service Burwood North. And seventh, and a very important point, the plans that have been placed, particularly option three, did create a sense of division in the community, as it seemed to look to shift a request for high density in one existing low density area to another. This proposal, option four, actually avoids creating that acrimony and that division between the communities. So, Mayor, I'm very much in favour of option four.
Thank you, sir. Julie or Carl? Carl?
Thank the councillors and the Mayor for the opportunity to speak. Significantly, option four presents the opportunity to unite the community that was needlessly divided by the original Croydon Master Plan. We say that option four has the following advantages. It protects heritage in Malvern Hill. It limits development to Croydon, which is consistent with Croydon being chosen as a tied location. It removes development from Burwood residential areas, which is also consistent with council strategy, standing council strategy to limit high density housing to the Burwood town centre only. It also adopts sensible medium density dwellings in locations where they're close to Croydon station. And it recognises that there are sites within the Todd radius of Croydon that can be uplifted, particularly around the Strand and north and south of the train station. In our view, option four is also the preferable option when considering the alternative options offered by the council planners. As councillors would be aware, option two, the original Croydon Master Plan, has divided the Burwood and Croydon communities and has been rejected by residents. We say option three is nothing more than option two. Other than height, it addresses none of the significant community concerns raised in response to the original Croydon Master Plan. It concerns us that option three is recommended by Burwood Council. I urge councillors to support option four. It is the only reasonable compromise of the options that have been put forward. It protects heritage and allows for sensitive medium density development with access to transport. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl. Julie?
Thank you. Okay, I stand here today not only in appeal to preserve my street, but to also spare the streets of neighbouring community. I implore you to preserve not only our homes, but our houses of historical relevance of Burwood's beauty and heritage. I speak on behalf of various streets and blocks that have lived and called Burwood home for 30 to 70 years. We have become the heartbeat of our local community, with its spirit shining bright today, concerned with the overscale development engulfing our homes and neighbourhood. We are united by the love and fight for Burwood. I have called Burwood home my entire life and my family for 60 years since 1964. I am blessed to live two streets away from them, as many of us do, and relocating would break this. History is not only the age of our houses, but it's also the life and memories within these houses. We are devastated at the thought of losing or changing a place we are settled in, bringing us peace, convenience, and community. This is heightened for our elderly neighbours in fear of being displaced, where to move, wiping out a history created over decades and wishing to stay for the rest of their lives. The proposal sells the master plan as creating a community, but this will be at the carnage of another long-standing community with deep roots to each other. The master plan is not just one-dimensional boxes on a map, as planners may see. These boxes are a place we have called home for decades. Our neighbours are like family. There has been no resistance to the changes of Burwood's development centre from your community, but this is different. This is significantly different. Option two will only bleed and spread adversely into our streets, and option three, different but the same. I believe if the mid to high rise housing hops over Shaftesbury Road to the residential side, it is only a matter of time that all our streets will be impacted gravely. I implore you to stonewall Shaftesbury Road and to preserve the eastern residential side of the road and keep the mid to high rise on the western side. Burwood has changed significantly, and I believe the two parts should be maintained. Shaftesbury should have a solid line of definition that separates these two sectors. There are many pockets in Burwood, such as Belmore Street, Burwood Road, Parramatta Road, that are more practical sites rather than planning to occupy residential land. We do. When do we deem a glass full? With the common sense that a glass will flow over, just like overdevelopment. Burwood keeps taking the brunt and demands of development when surrounding suburbs should be contributing to Burwood. Should be contributing to, as Burwood has undergone this solely. I am in favour of option 4, as I feel this is the overall compromise to the adverse scale on Burwood and Croydon.
Thank you. Thank you,
Julie, for your time.
Thank you. Can I ask that, I know Theo Brooke and, can I just ask to hold applause, please? Theo Brooke and Jim, is Jim back, Theo? Jim's, oh yeah, sorry. I couldn't. So the three of you are speaking as well. And can I just remind residents to please have your phones off or on silent, please? Welcome, Theo, or Brooke.
Do I push this?
It's on.
Oh, sorry. I expect my elected council to operate in a way that considers environmental issues, social issues, and is run with good governance. Todd aims to take the pressure off rents and costs of homes in areas around specific stations. Croydon, in our case. Burwood already has it covered. Todd intended to have a positive impact on climate change. However, when you add high-rise, you add significant amounts of heat into the environment. Good housing design must be met at a bare minimum. Going from individual homes to Todd's low to mid-rise housing aligns with this. Todd gives our community an inclusive building approval process, with council retaining the right to reject any inappropriate development in heritage conservation areas. You add scale and it's more likely to end up with the Housing Development Authority. Scale is the big risk about retaining our character. It's not equitable to cherry pick some of the most affordable homes in our area for development. Todd is the most appropriate, fair and equitable solution for housing around Croydon Station.
Thank you, Brooke. Thea?
Todd works on the principle of development around transport. It is the fairest option and conforms with state government policy. It's also supported by the opposition. Todd is designed for all the community, the young, elderly, frail and disabled residents of Croydon that don't drive. Inner West Council has recognised this, even though they received a grant of several million dollars, and has now adopted the Todd for their side of Croydon Station. It's thus inconceivable that Burwood Council would not follow suit. Burwood Council has already spent hundreds of thousands of ratepayers' dollars resisting the Todd at a time when households are doing it tough, so I doubt that residents will stomach seeing any more waste after today. We're sure that Council has now recognised that Croydon residents have a voice and a resolve. The overwhelming number of submissions for the Todd, as well as the e-petition of over 600 signatories, is evidence of this. Please stop community anxiety caused by council and vote for Todd option 1.
Thank you, Theo. Jim?
Thank you. As a practicing town planner, I took a planning approach in what was.
Can I just get you right into that mic, Jim, yep, so we can hear?
As a practicing town planner, I took a planning approach in review of these documents, and my professional opinion is that the Todd option 1 is the preferred option. This is because the Todd is based on sound planning principles and it encourages more affordable housing closer to transport and has a better opportunity to create an enriched and viable urban centre around the station and the Strand. Todd creates consistency and fairness for Croydon in both Burwood and Inner West Councils by ensuring a balanced approach on both sides of the rail corridor and council boundaries. It protects areas of the northern side of the railway line, which are some of the oldest parts of Croydon, which still contain historically important detached affordable housing where the majority of essential workers live today, who also have a higher dependency on using public transport. It introduces opportunities for more affordable housing in those pockets of Croydon which are currently unaffordable. The HOA doesn't meet Todd principles. It introduces development in areas almost 1 kilometre walking distance and also doesn't meet some of the ministerial directions. The professional plans of the department took an independent and unbiased approach to selecting which areas were to be Todd's, and I think we should support them.
Thank you. Can I hold off applause, please? It's just to keep everyone calm and everyone can have their say, please. Pin Chen, Mr. Chen, are you here? Now, Mr. Chen is speaking on behalf of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 homeowners ranging from Shaftesbury Road, Brooklyn Street and Paisley Road and Wyalong Street. And Lisa, are you Lisa Liu, ma'am? And Lisa, you're speaking together?
Yeah, we are.
So, okay. So you have two slots. So you're all speaking on behalf. Please welcome.
Thank you, everyone, for allowing me the opportunity to speak on behalf of all of these residents here today. Today, we're mostly here to discuss about our views are being excluded from the investigations for the Rawa South Precinct area. So for us is that, firstly, we'd like to emphasise that the New South Wales Government Planning Guidance designated our land as a suitable for high-rise development gardens. And as we are well located within the 400 metres within the Bell train station area. And secondly, to address the growing demand, secondly, to the strategic location of is a major advantage situated within 400 metres to the station and 500 metres to Westfield, Bell Plaza and the vibrant community district centre. Our proposal is to develop will offer residents unparalleled convenience to work, leisure and daily living. This aligns perfectly with the state government's vision for high density living. However, we have observed that the council plans to approve a 61 density zone for the land adjacent to Shaftesbury Road at the Northern Precinct across the train line. Considering our proximity to the station and the surrounding commercial amenities are similar to the Northern Precinct, we believe our land should also be part of the development considerations. So as to our impact to all the balance between heritage preservation and urban development, our properties are mostly more than 100 metres away from the Marvin Hill Heritage area. It falls within the western edge of the Railway South Precinct of the Croydon Housing Investigation Area. Our developments will have no major negative impacts on the heritage sites. However, we do have some closer heritage sites nearby, but numerous examples in the build CBD demonstrates that successful coexistence of historical buildings and high-rise developments can coexist together.
I might just get to wrap up, Mr. Chen. Are you speaking on behalf of Lisa or is she speaking as well? She's speaking?
No, I'm speaking on behalf of her.
Together? Okay, yeah. So we'll give you a bit of an extension. Go on.
Thank you very much. Now, in terms of, there's been a major issue in the traffic congestions in Shaftesbury Road. And the experienced congestions could go up to 150 metres between the roundabout and the bridge in that area. And which is the junction between Shaftesbury Road and Belmore Street. Due to the traffic's being restricted to a single lane, and particularly during weekends and peak hours, leading to severe traffic congestions to cover for that relative distance, which also significantly impacts the residents in that area, which is Brooklyn Street, Wylong Street, as the street hosts two-directional travel sharing a single lane. Shaftesbury Road is one of the main roads connecting Parramatta Road to Liverpool Road as it serves as the main road within the Belt region. According to the government plans for high-rise residential living, it can be anticipated that an increased volume of vehicles will soon be passing through to further exacerbate the issue. If left unaddressed, severe traffic congestions will significantly impact the quality of life of all residents and vehicles passing by. Due to a single lane congestion, we are proposing, maybe now or in the future, the conversion of the roundabout on Shaftesbury Road to traffic lights, along with widening from a single lane to a double lane to accommodate for additional right turn lane to Belmore Street. To facilitate this, we are willing to donate a portion of our land to support the project's implementation should our lands be approved for high density. A well-functioning Shaftesbury Road will not only alleviate traffic congestions on Build Road, but also contribute to the overall economic validity of Build Area should we be included within the Council's considerations. In conclusion, we urge the Council to consider high density zoning for our properties, potentially 61. This decision aligns with the state government planning guidance and will bring numerous benefits to our community. We are prepared to collaborate with the council.
I just get you to wrap up now, Mr. Chen.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
James? Come on. Sorry, James, I know you were missing, but I guess you've probably read through the speaking notes on...
Yeah, that's
3 minutes, yep.
Yeah, so where's the timer, or do I just rely on you? Good, okay.
I'll put my hand up at 2.5 minutes.
Okay.
So you'll know there's about 30 seconds left.
Yeah. So I think you're all aware of just how much division the master plan has caused within the Croydon area. And I think we have to keep in mind that what we're talking about is not lines on a map, but people. And I believe that you're all here, as are the other people here, because they believe they are good people. And on that score, I recognise that many of you got family, and John in particular, I know that you're a regular attender of church and that sort of thing. So I just want to remind people that Hugh Mackay, the Australian social researcher, commented on looking at a lot of different cultures, and he said what they have in common is what's called the golden rule, and that is that we do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So I just like the councillors, including Sir Curti, I believe that you know you're away on a family situation, and I wish you all the best for that. So I just wanted you to keep that in mind when you do your votes. I'm getting on, and in a past incarnation, I was working in a hospital, and one of the golden rules there was do no harm. So unlike some that have already spoken that are very good with numbers and others that have planning experience, I'm not a planner, even though I've been asked to comment on plans, but I'm not a chef either. However, if you give me a piece of fish that really smells, I've got a pretty good idea that it's off. I think options 2 and 3 stink. So if we look at the area that we're in, we've got to ask, why are we doing this? Because this is a happy, what was formerly a happy residential area that has been thrown into turmoil. And if we look at the 2022 federal election, there's no mandate for the housing accord. If we look at the 2023 state election, nothing was said about the Todd planning, so there's no mandate there. And if we look at your recent election in September 2024, even though the Todd had already passed, there was no mention of extending the Todd into the northern section of Croydon, let alone well away from the station. Once the developments move that far away from... is that 2.5 minutes?
Yeah, that's 3 minutes.
It's three minutes, okay.
So I might just get you to wrap up, James, please, so we can get through the speakers.
So creating a wind tunnel in Shaftesbury Road, causing more traffic problems in the Croydon area with their schools, is not good planning. Anybody like John that's lived in the area for longer than I have knows that there's been a number of accidents in which schoolgirls have been hit by cars. On the street that John lives on, Lucas Road, it's a concern already with the speed, and that's why there's a speed reminder sign there. So I think...
Thank you, James.
In making your decisions, remember that these things could impact people, and they will remember who made the decisions caused their heartache.
Thank you. Van Eugen or Stacey? Is it Stacey, I think? Hi, Stacey from Cheltenham Road. Just push that mic down, Stacey.
I'm going to push it down for my height. Right. So, firstly, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak on this issue. It is a very important issue, and it defines the future of our community. The decision before you is not just about rezoning. It is about the legacy we leave for generations to come. It will impact our neighbourhoods, our infrastructure, and the very essence of our life. Growth is inevitable, but growth without responsibility and foresight is reckless. We cannot afford to build blindly, and we need thoughtful planning and ensures both the honours, both progress and preservation. Today I speak to you as a member of Croydon community, a resident of New South Wales who are representing 600 petition, a citizen of Australia, and I ask you to choose basically fairness, transparency and consistency. In the case of fairness, in the case of consistency, the Todd Development Program, as you know, is quite clear and uniform. It's a maximum of 66 stories within 400 metre radius of Croydon Station. But as you know, Croydon is a bit tricky. We're bounded by two councils. We all know that Inner West has now adopted the Todd, so why hasn't Burwood aligned? Why should an arbitrary LGA line determine who can build what and where? Why does a street sign make us different from our neighbours? Why does one side of the road can remain single storey while the others soars to six or, in some cases, 10 storeys? The Todd model brings uniform and predictability. It ensures that all of Croydon growth is in a way that makes us more and makes sense for everybody. In the terms of transparency, in the case of the engagement process, I do want to acknowledge the council's effort to balance all the competing interests that you've heard today, from developers pushing 30-storey towers, to residents fighting to protect their homes, to landowners hoping to cash in on the windfall for the rezoning. It was never going to be easy, and that's quite hard. But I'll be honest, the process has not been perfect. We can see a proposal that's been hastily put forward in terms of options and timings. We can see the inconsistent alternatives being put forward, expanding the radius to 500 metres in some cases and outside of the six storeys high, looking like the Todd but not looking like the Todd in some ways. And true lack of real engagement from the community, from the pin drop to just now when I've really been confirmed speaker as of 12 noon today, so I'm not fully dressed for it either. So what you see is a patchwork of conflicting options, one drifting further than the other, and outside of the original intent of the Todd. When trying to please everybody, we please nobody at the same time. Lastly, my last half minute is the heart of the issue is fairness. Housing is a responsibility for everybody. It is a shared challenge, and pitting communities against each other into precincts is unfair and uncalled for. The burden should be shared. It's a community thing, and what we're doing now is all the terms we've put forward is a game of Peter to pay Paul, Robin to pay Peter to pay Paul. With the alternatives and the timings, I'm sure there are some winners and losers, but only time will tell what it's going to be.
Thank you, Stacey.
Thank you.
Thank you. Sherry Kemp and John Johnson from David Street, Croydon.
I'm speaking on behalf of Burwood Historical Society. The Society generally supports option four. However, we're concerned that all heritage conservation areas in Burwood Council areas should be respected and protected. It is not acceptable to demolish half of the Lucas Road conservation area under option three, or the Strand, Croydon, the heart of the Malvern Hill Heritage Conservation Areas under either options three or four. And just to correct earlier speakers, the original 400-metre Todd Circle at Croydon was half in Inner West Council area, and those who are aware, the New South Wales Government Planning Portal does not show the Inner West half of the Croydon Todd Circle. It has vanished off the planning portal. So it's gone, whereas the Ashfield Todd Circle, for example, is clearly on the New South Wales planning portal. So I don't think option one, I don't think even the state government's looking at that anymore, because it's disappeared off the planning portal. Anyway, we ask that council delete recommendation two of the report and replace it with a recommendation deleting the entirety of the Lucas Road and Malvern Hill Heritage Conservation areas from the areas proposed for increased housing density, and proposing the Strand Croydon be listed as a group heritage item as the Society has requested back in March 2024. The significance of the Lucas Road Conservation Area has been reaffirmed in a consultant's report, which is attachment 4 to the Council report. And I'll now hand over to John Johnson, historian, to talk about the importance of Mulvey.
Got about a minute, John, please.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll go as quick as I can. I'm former president of the Burwood Historical Society. I'm former chair of the Built Heritage Committee of the New South Wales National Trust. I find it hard to believe that I stand here and ask Burwood Council to defend the integrity of the Malvern Hill Conservation Area. It has been heritage listed by Burwood Council for nearly 40 years, fourth heritage conservation area listed in New South Wales. We have recently lost the Young House in Burleigh Street because it wasn't heritage listed. Now Malvern Hill is under threat despite being listed. This is one of the TOD applications currently in Ku'ring'i. These developments anticipate bulldozing everything in their path. There is no adaptive reuse, no saving of trees, or consideration of neighbouring heritage items. Nothing in Malvern Hill is individually listed, so the TOD SEP will simply exterminate heritage within 400 metres of Croydon Station.
Thank you, John.
So, we support option 3 and 4 if they exempt the Lucas Road area and the Strand and reduce the impacts on Froggatt Crescent.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Angela Babick from Cheltenham Road. Angela here? Angela's not here. Catriona McKenzie from Malvern Avenue, Croydon. I'll come back if Angela talks, if Angela turns up.
Thank you for engaging with the community and leading such a thorough planning and consultative planning process. I think the drawing of a circle on a map by people who have possibly never been to Croydon cannot take the place of this sort of community consultation and place-based planning. Given that Croydon and Burwood stations are only 1.3 kilometres apart, meaning people will generally have to walk about 650 metres to get to a station, I think this discussion is really about which, you know, parts of the LGA are suited to additional development. And on that basis, we'd support option 3 or 4 if the state government would allow it, with the exception of the Strand, which we don't think should undergo uplift. While some of the infrastructure Croydon lacks, such as schools, can be built, the major limitation remains that there's no parks or public open spaces in the proposed 400-metre circle, none, and there are two large heritage conservation areas, which John and Cherry have already discussed, so I won't speak further about them except to say very much support their conservation as well as Lucas Road and Sintra. It's an irony that Malvern Hill Estate was built as a garden suburb, and they decided to deliberately exclude parks because everybody had a large backyard. So as such, there's no parks in that part of Croydon. When my three kids were little, I had to push a stroller with two Jack Russells 1.1 kilometres up the hill to get to Woodstock, or negotiate my way across Liverpool Road to get to the Keith Smith Memorial Park. So if the state government wants to attract and retain families with kids in the area, it's difficult to see how this will be appealing if people have no parks or no yards for their children. I don't have time to say everything I'd like to say, but I would like to also comment that there are three boarding houses on Malvern Hill and Dickinson Avenue that have apparently already been approached by developers, potentially leaving some of our most vulnerable community members homeless also. So I think hopefully we can all agree that communities need and deserve more than proximity to a train station to thrive. So thank you again for engaging with the community and being proactive in trying to identify more suitable places for much needed housing, including proximity to the proposed metro station and the limited green space Burwood has, while preserving our heritage for future generations. Thank you.
Thank you. George Ferris from Albert Crescent. George?
Councillors and fellow community members, good evening. I am a resident who lives in the Croydon HIA and represent a group of owners who formed the Brand Street WhatsApp group to support the draft Croydon Master Plan, or Option 2. Our members are landholders who live in four blocks surrounding Brand Street, being bounded by Albert Crescent, Webb Street, Cross Street and Cheltenham Road. The group represents approximately 35% of the property owners in that area. Generally we applaud Council's decision to preserve the long enshrined heritage character of Croydon along the Strand and the adjoining conservation areas. We also appreciate Council's consultation with the community to identify alternative areas to satisfy New South Wales Government TUD policy. Following consultation with the community, the area north of the railway was selected as the best alternative area for development, and the draft Croydon Master Plan was developed. I sat here at the Council meeting with many of you on the 22nd of October and saw this Council overwhelmingly vote in favour of the draft Croydon Master Plan Option 2, with no objections to height, buildings, densities or significant impact to the community. The community also endorsed the draft Croydon Master Plan at this meeting, and it maintains a healthy majority of support, even at the face of misinformation by a small, loud minority who seek to undermine progress of our local government area. Council's own feedback in response to the draft Croydon Master Plan indicates that 273 or 37% of submissions were in favour of the Croydon Master Plan. Far fewer, 23, were in favour of the TOD, and only 20% for a hybrid version. This demonstrates that the largest number of community members are in favour of the draft Croydon Master Plan. One asks the question why the hybrid version, option 3, is being put forward by Council when it's the third most popular choice by submissions, and only 20% approval at their preferred option. Almost double that number of residents clearly consider option 2 the best proposal.
Get you to wrap up now, please, George. You've got 30 seconds.
Well, whether or not they fall into or outside the 400-metre radius, the TOD, both PLC and Hampton Court parcels are not feasible development opportunities. This aligns with Build Council's own assessment as detailed in attachment to the agenda of the Council's meeting on the 22nd of October, where Council stated, Build Council has identified much of the land nominated by the State Government for the amended planning controls, TOD, is unfeasible for development and it will unlikely result in minimum take-up and significant impact to the heritage.
Thank you, George.
Just to sum up, Not the time for Council to change plans because of the loud voices of a small minority of residents who do not want change or indeed even understand that the change is imperative for the progress of the community as a whole.
Thank you,
we
George.
Implore Council to once Thank again you. Support I've... option 2.
Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'm about to cut you off, but I've got to get through it, otherwise not everyone's going to get a say. Sorry. Lou Lombardo, who's online, I believe. Is Lou online, Michelle? Lou, you've got a quick 3 minutes and then I'll...
Yes, I am.
Let's go.
Thank you so much. I thank you all for the opportunity to speak. We built our home in Lucas Road in 2002, raised our family here, and have loved being part of the Burwood and Inner West communities. Others are speaking against the master plan, and I strongly agree that it is not the best way forward. I will add that we were devastated with how the plan would transform our neighbourhood into a cityscape. The master plan also designated some properties, including mine and my neighbours, as either proposed or potential open space. I believe that the open space designations in the master plan are misguided and will be detrimental to affected owners for several reasons. Firstly, it severely restricts those owners. While others can sell to developers or others, open space owners are effectively locked in, as no one is likely to want to acquire their properties.
Their own areas. Fervently screaming about their own areas.
Sorry, Lou, just keep going. We're just getting a bit of feedback.
Okay. In addition, the likely buyer would be council as some form of compulsory acquisition. These properties are collectively worth tens of millions. Surely there are better uses for those funds than to acquire open space for developments that may not proceed for many years or at all. Even if the master plan was approved today, no one can say with certainty if or when a developer would buy rezoned homes. What we do know now is that open space owners are unlikely to find buyers and would be trapped in their properties until they were compulsorily acquired. There are also many other adverse impacts for open space owners. We've invested time, energy and resources into our home and now find the prospect of being uprooted without our consent. This is not only a financial burden, but an emotional one as well. To compel people to leave their homes against their will is unfair and unjust. Financial compensation alone cannot replace the loss of stability, the loss of relationships with neighbours, or memories that have been made in these homes. These are things that money simply cannot buy. Thirdly, there is a better way of dealing with this. Canada Bay Council recently considered designation of open space along Broughton Street in Concord. After discussions with residents, Council decided to deal with open space as and when development applications were proposed. And I submit that that's a better way of dealing with this issue. In conclusion, the designation of open space now is a premature decision that disregards the needs and rights of affected owners. I believe it undermines the principles of fairness, justice and responsible urban planning, and I urge Council to delay decisions on open space requirements until developments are actually proposed. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Lou. Peter Bull from Cheltenham Road. Peter? Press that mic, Peter, again.
How's that? Can you hear me? Okay. Thank you for this opportunity to speak. I would have liked a bit more than a few hours' notice, but anyway, we'll see how we go. On speaking on the fly is something I have done a little bit. To come here, we had to pick an option, right? And we've explicitly asked us to share opinions. Everyone has their opinions, and sometimes their reasoning good, sometimes they're bad. My preferred method is to agree on the values we have and the facts, and then use the values and facts to come to a conclusion. So the values I've discovered this community has is they believe in equity, they believe in the environment, and they believe in having livable spaces. Now, the facts here are very interesting. The attachment to this meeting puts together four options. I'm an analytical person. The numbers don't add up. So we've been asked to change, pick two between four options, and they don't add up. Right. So strangely, they're radically different options, but all the numbers are 4,100 plus or minus 6%. Strange coincidence, isn't it? Okay, so, and how do we get here? This master plan thingy. Right. I first learned about it and got very hot under the collar, and then I looked at it, and again, it didn't add up. Right. So the first question is, came to my mind was, well, at least it's not on me. Sorry about that. Was why is the Croydon in the Todd? So we looked at the plans and the criteria, and according to the criteria, places with lots of strata titles and very little government land shouldn't have been included in the TOD, right? Because it doesn't make it easier to develop. Government land allows easy development, and strata titles are hard to redevelopment. And Croydon, around Croydon Station, is 77% strata title, right? So, okay, next question is, it got in the TOD, don't know how. How did we get this target? So, and I've got friends in the Burwood Historical Society who've spoken earlier, and they said it very well. They have serious concerns about the proposed Croydon housing investigation area. The society is astonished that Burwood LGA is suddenly taking the entire Croydon Todd proposal, housing and population increases within the Croydon area, and only be 50%, because Croydon Burwood only owns 50%. So that means, on that basis,
there should to wrap up, please, Peter.
Yeah, should only be 2,500 is the target for Croydon. A quarter of that's a school, so the target should really be 1,600.
Thank you. Right, so. Thank you, Peter. Dominic from Lucas Road, who's speaking on behalf of a number of residents on Lucas Road that are listed here. Dominic, are you here? Oh, Dominic's online.
Yes, I'm online. Hopefully you can hear me. Yeah.
Please proceed, okay. Dominic.
Okay. Thank you for that. I wish to address the council tonight in support of option four. So as part of the consultation Burwood Council has had with the community, it was apparent that the initial Croydon master plan was flawed and has necessitated changes. It was unfair in its treatment of residents, with a particular north-south divide favouring residents in the proposed Todd area, as opposed to residents to whom the master plan was proposed, which is now considered option two. Following consultations, residents of the Lucas Road HCA had proposed either acceptance of the TOD or a hybrid that allowed the residents to sell out and be included in the master plan due to the extreme negative impacts the master plan would have on all of us. Thankfully, Council has acknowledged this and has proposed both option three and four as alternatives to the original master plan. Now, the residents I've spoken to in Lucas Road HCA, we prefer that the alternative to the TOD, if the alternative to the TOD is pursued, that option four be selected. And we say that for the following reasons. Both option three and option four propose exactly the same impacts to the original TOD area surrounding Croydon. So there's no difference between option three or four for the area surrounding Croydon Station. The key difference is where the development will occur in Burwood, with option three preferencing the block between Shaftesbury, Wymere, Lucas and Albert Crescent, whilst option four puts the development into the existing planned Burwood North uplift. Of those two options, option four is preferred, as for Lucas Road in particular, it removes the negative impact on the Lucas Road HCA, which according to the report from Lisa Truman, has historic, aesthetic and representative heritage significance at the local level. And it's also consistent with the approach Council has taken to protecting other heritage areas in the Burwood Council area, such as the Melbourne Hill area. So from a fairness perspective, it makes sense to do the same around Lucas Road. Also for the wider Council area, the Council report states that to redistribute the unmet dwelling yield from Croydon TOD program and meet the overall target, a simple increase of 0.5 to 1 to the floor space ratio across each block in the master plan precinct can be implemented. Additionally, this would better align to the densities of the adjoining adjacent blocks, facilitating a smoother transition between the areas. Further, moving development to option four would drive the following benefits. It would limit the construction impacts of Burwood to a portion of the suburb already earmarked for significant development, which would reduce the impact of construction on residents. It's also a potentially quicker way to achieve housing targets, as it's a lot easier to add 0.5 to an FSR than to improve an entirely new build.
Thank you, Dominic. I'm going to ask you to quickly wrap up.
Yeah, okay. So to summarise, I guess what I'm saying is why would option three be pursued over option four when option four is clearly the better outcome for residents of Burwood? Thank you.
Thank you, Dominic. Warwick Dobby, who's also via Zoom, I believe. Warwick?
Yes, hello there, councillors. I'm actually here with 2,000 reasons to speak to council today, namely the 2,000 plus young children who are school students in the area north of Croydon Station. Now, this is a highly congested area with abysmal parking problems at present, and yet the bulk of development seems to have been shunted to our area. Now, I've heard all of our neighbours, and Croydon is a wonderful area. We're a very harmonious area, and it's understandable that people will be arguing for their own personal and financial interests. But I would like to highlight the best interests of the children of Croydon, who will have to bear the impact of all this additional development in very close proximity to their schools. Now, I'm told by Council Planning Department that these units won't have car parking provision, so the people will be walking or cycling. Now, as far as I can imagine, this area is not Amsterdam. You know, people are going to have cars and they're all going to be parked in the street if there's no provision. So three of the options that we see on the table today actually shunt all of the development and the burden to the school area in Croydon. As I've mentioned, our neighbours in other parts of Croydon, they wish to preserve their own area. It's the waterbed effect. You know, once they've exempted their area, the burden falls elsewhere, and it's falling on the school children of Croydon. I suggest that the master plan should be adopted, but in a more equitable fashion. The council has seen fit to include 30-storey developments in the master plan in some sort of attempt at a rates bonanza for council coffers, no doubt. But I would actually suggest that the master plan is adopted with just enough to satisfy the Todd requirements. And that way, we will save the children of Croydon from potential injury and possibly worse going forward with additional traffic in an already highly congested zone. I'd also like to address the issue of the fact that I've heard that Council will only be voting on option three today. It's been presented by management as the preferred option. I would like to ask councillors whether they will be actually, in light of all of the opinions that have been put forward, whether they will actually be voting to include or at least assess the other options as well. Okay, so let's keep all the development away from the school's children, the school children's zone in Croydon. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today.
Thank you, Warwick. Jackie from Fitzroy Street. Jackie Lai. Welcome, Jackie.
Hi, good evening. Thank you very much for the opportunities. I think most of the issues the other speakers has already addressed. I would like to ask some questions in terms of all the options council considered in terms of schools, traffics, and how to coordinate the development in Croydon area if it happens with the Inner West Council, because half of the area is in Burwood Council and half of the area is in Inner West Council. I called Inner West Council on the other day. They say they don't have any alternative plans to the Todd. So how Burwood Council is going to reconcile with their plan? That's absolutely none, with all the options from Burwood Council's plan. And the other thing is, with some of the options, it divides the Burwood area, particularly along the railway line, into two words. Okay, one is high-rise buildings, and the other one is like a village in against those high-rise buildings. How to make the plans in this area seems more attractive for the future residents. It's not like a two side of the word. The other thing is the schools. Is there any sort of more spaces for school children, particularly high schools? No, none. And the recreational and the other spaces for those residents. This is all my questions input to the councillors to consider for today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jackie. We're nearly there. We've got three speakers. I'm going to ask Nathaniel to come up, and I'm going to try to keep you to 2 minutes if we can, so then we'll fit everyone in if we can. Is that okay?
I will try.
Yeah. I keep testing you, don't I, Nathaniel?
Yeah, well, good evening. Well, I'll speak quickly then because it's obviously in a...
Go for it.
It's okay, good evening, and thank you for providing me the time to opportunity to speak. I live in Croydon my entire life, and I purchased my current home 32 years ago. I live approximately 410 metres from Croydon Station, so some would say safe, but it's not about that. It's about Croydon as a whole. I'm here to express my opposition to the original Burwood Master Plan, or reverting to the state government, Todd, and for adopting option four as the alternative to present to state government. I understood and supported the initial pushback by many in the Todd era. If we can achieve well-designed, medium-density housing close to a train station while preserving what gives Croydon its character, then it's incumbent upon us to do so. As many have said, the original master plan is completely an inappropriate response. Simply dumping high rise at one end of Croydon is blatantly unfair on those residents. I might just get your 2 minutes there, John. I believe the Croydon Todd is a lazy and poor policy on behalf of state government. Simply drawing a 400 metre radius does not provide good planning outcomes. Then to divide that into two halves and give two councils confidential housing targets, again, is particularly misguided. The fact that there has been no collaboration between these councils, either facilitated or mandated by state government, is extremely disappointing. And I firmly believe an outcome could have been reached where We could have protected heritage and achieved the housing targets within the 400 metre radius had it been like many other TODs in one LGA, or if there had been collaboration forced between the two councils. I don't know if this opportunity is now lost. That's why I strongly support and advocate choosing option four before we give up our heritage, before we diminish the character of our suburb, or before we push development beyond what our local infrastructure can handle. It's incumbent on us to ask council to prioritise negotiating with government to secure the best planning outcome we can for our entire suburb. Hopefully this approach will deliver well-designed, strategically located housing, preserving much of what makes Croydon's character unique, as well as a solution that brings our community back together. Thank you for your time. How'd I go?
Good man. You've done really well. We've got two more speakers. So Christina Simic is speaking on behalf of the RSL on Zoom. Before I put you through, I might just bring up Milka from Eurella Street to speak, and then we'll go to the Zoom, then we can start the meeting.
Just put my glasses on. Good evening, everyone. I support the state government's TOD initiative for Croydon Station. As we all know, Croydon was selected for obvious and valid reasons. Primarily, its railway station is very underutilised. Croydon is not being asked to sacrifice all their heritage single-storey cottages. The 400 metre radius is not a rigidly fixed line. It could have been reworked optimally and sensibly if the two councils had worked together. The Strand shops are poorly maintained and in urgent need of uplift. Ask yourselves, where do Croydon residents typically shop? As far as I'm aware, the Inner West Council complied. Sadly, our council obfuscated and divided our community. Thank you for publishing the community submissions online, which confirm this. Well done to the residents that put the time and effort in. It shows you care. How can all three additional plans developed by council be considered as serious proposals to be put before the state government as an alternative to the Croydon TOD? These are simply more development in Burwood, with an expectation that people walk or cycle to Burwood Station, that people walk or cycle to Croydon Station from Burwood. Croydon residents rejected the TOD because they panicked in fear of becoming like Burwood, but that will not be the case. Croydon residents should not fear an influx of culturally diverse residents perceived as ruining their suburb and amenity. Croydon has great potential to continue as a quality and desirable place to live. How? Through quality urban renewal and design excellence. There are many good examples of heritage and new housing successfully coexisting through adaptive reuse, whereby the facades of heritage buildings are preserved, extended, or repurposed. The key is to get planners out of dictating architecture for Croydon. Croydon residents and Burwood Council should embrace this as an opportunity for well-designed low and mid-rise housing projects, which will contribute positively to their neighbourhood character, streetscape and future viability. Excellent examples abound across New South Wales and can be seen on the New South Wales planning website and the housing map.
Can I get you to wrap up, please, Milk?
Please visit the site. You will be pleasantly surprised. I would like to see development of distinction and award-winning merit in Croydon because, sadly, Burwood has not featured at all in this regard. Sydney will continue to grow irrespective of the blinkered and myopic views of some. Change is inevitable and the Croydon anti-TOD precinct will not be able to avoid it forever. Thank you for the opportunity to speak here today.
Christina Simic, who's on Zoom, our final speaker, and we'll just be a couple of minutes over.
Good evening, councillors. Thanks for providing the RSL with the opportunity to participate in the forum this evening. I'm conscious of the time, so I'll try to keep it as succinct as possible. So the club is in support of option four, as it's most aligned with strategic planning policy and would create better outcomes for the community for the following reasons. Firstly, option four is strongly preferable from a town plan perspective as it locates density in areas where there's greater opportunity and capacity to provide public transport, open space and social infrastructure. The Burwood North Precinct is a newly master planned area that is already designed to accommodate high density living, and it plans for the future with high quality infrastructure to meet the community needs. Comparably, the high density proposed at the periphery of the Burwood Town Centre by options 2 and 3 is ad hoc at best, and at worst they will place strain on the existing Burwood station, which is already at capacity, and they don't provide any new open spaces or facilities for the benefit of the community. Secondly, option 4 better manages the impact of additional bulk and scale as it proposes proportionate height and density in the Burwood North precincts, which Council acknowledges actually improves the existing master plan by facilitating a smoother density transition and avoids unnecessary impact elsewhere. Options 2 and 3 again propose heights and FSR within low density areas that irrationally exceed the Burwood CBD height controls, and this undermines the long-term planning policy to promote a concentric step-down density from the Burwood CBD to residential peripheries. And finally, option 4 is most consistent with community expectations. Whilst rapid change has occurred in the Burwood LGA over the past decade, it's been guided by a consistent strategic vision which the community has relied upon in making decisions about the future. Again, options 2 and 3 are just ad hoc provisions to long-term planning controls which have not had a sufficient time frame for consideration by Council or the community. We therefore respectfully request that Council consider endorsing option 4, and that concludes our submission. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to all the residents who participated. We're finalised. We're 2 minutes over, so I think we did really well. We had 40 registered people, and I think we got you into about 20 slots. So thank you. Please give yourself a round of applause. Thank you.